you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
And we're back with week three. Jaws had a pretty good week with our picks. I believe he lost a little bit of money, so we're here to make him a little bit more money for week three. So Jaws, keep listening, and we'll just keep making that dough for you. I'm reporting from Richmond, and Will, where are you at this week? Are you traveling?
I'm reporting live from the O.
So we got me and Chuck. Our podcast seems to have some sort of knack for getting cancellations. We had Dub set to come on, but apparently his mother-in-law came in town unexpectedly, so I hope they had a good dinner. I bet they just went somewhere to go watch the debate, maybe go to Buffalo Wild Wings, have a couple brews, watch Johnny T, just go ham on some fools. So
pay away.
Oh, maybe pay away. Just hold the veggies and hold the hold any seasoning but extra sauce. So then Kirch was going to be on, but Kirch has figured out that we record on Wednesday, so he cannot make it this week. So it's just me and Chuck again. We asked Sally. Sally's still sick, so everybody start praying for Sally for his 3-week recovery time. So one more housekeeping note before we get into last week. Me and Chuck, our podcast has now gone viral from about 30 of y'all, so we appreciate the 30 downloads. It may just be you guys downloading the same thing numerous times because you didn't know you downloaded it yet, but we'll take it. But we've received some attention from a website. So this website would like us to become their college football podcast. So we're in active negotiations to get on that website when it launches next spring. So keep an eye out for that for stolenlawnmower.com. So if you want more details on that, reach out to Sally and ask him when the website will be done. Will, how do you feel about going public?
I like to stay more private. I don't need all the shareholders getting in my business.
Yeah. How do you think Sally Diaz, like a majority owner?
It'd be interesting. We'd get a lot of South Carolina cock talk.
Whoa there, Chuck. We've already been told to dumb down the dick and fart jokes. But for the record, I don't know if we've made a fart joke technically. So
No, we have not, Dia.
There we go. Good contribution there, Chuck. All right, so to recap last week, it was pretty rough all around, but here's how we fared last week. Sally and Chuck led the way by going 7-5 in her 12 games. Matt went 6-6. I went 5-7. And then Domi and the white line Whitney both went 4-8. So Garza brought the energy, not so much on the winning pick. So maybe you can turn it around this week. Here's how the games went. So Louisiana Tech was giving a point to Western Kentucky going on the road last Thursday. Surprisingly, we had multiple people listen to the podcast actually watch that game for some reason. Western Kentucky came out, put some points up on the board pretty quick. They had almost a 20-point lead at halftime. Louisiana Tech came back late, but then West Virginia was able to score late and put that game away. So Louisiana Tech did go on the road. They did not cover. They got their ass kicked by Western Kentucky.
FYI, Dick, I did not watch that game.
I watched the first half, and then I got agitated and did something else. So, but Salil was very excited about Western Kentucky covering. They are now known as his Hilltoppers. So
Salil supports the Hilltoppers more than he supports his alma mater.
It's debatable, but he does hate the Baylor quarterback. All right, so moving on to our next game, we're going to talk about U of H who went to Louisville. Chuck, did you watch any of that game?
I watched a little bit of it, Dick. So Houston was about, what were they, about 10-point underdogs?
12.5.
12.5. Came into Louisville, who was looking to avenge their defeat from Auburn. U of H came out. It was a back-and-forth game in the first half. Louisville had the lead by 4 at halftime. And then Tom Herman and his boys came out and dominated the second half. Ended up winning 34-31, not only covering the 12.5-point spread, but winning outright, which I did pick that game, Dia.
Yeah, Chuck was the only one who picked that game correctly. So everybody else missed out. And then one of the funnier parts about that game is, so me and Kirch and Whitney were in the Baylor bookstore that Saturday. So Kirch was looking at his phone, getting angry at Jacksonville State for not winning against Auburn. Like, he was visibly upset. And then I was like, Kirch, what's the Louisville U of H score? He's like, Dad, not now. I'm watching this game. So we had to keep making sure that Auburn didn't win, and they ended up winning. And then afterward, we figured out that U of H ended up winning. So that was getting a couple CBS views in the Baylor bookstore. The next game, speaking of the Baylor bookstore, Bowling Green, with Dino Babers, the former Baylor coach, went to Maryland. They were getting 7.5 from Maryland, and Bowling Green not only went in and covered, they actually won by 21. So their high-flying offense is just – They're starting to get a little bit more hype. I don't really know if they can keep following it up, but they did go on the road and be an ACC school, so good for Dino Babers and his crew. I wish we could tag Domi in for this next one, because UTSA, it's like kind of a long acronym for UT San Antonio, but UTSA, their fans were getting drunk in the Alamo Dome, but their team must have also been, because they only put up a field goal. So they ended up losing by 27 to K-State. K-State effectively ran the ball. They moved the chains. UTSA could not move the ball. They couldn't score. They looked like UTSA. So the Big 12 went on the road and covered that one. Chuck, I know you watched this game because you were telling me about it after the fact. You want to talk about Washington State versus Rutgers?
Yeah, so I actually did not watch this game. But I did watch the highlights.
You beat me on that one.
So this was a back-and-forth game between Washington State and Rutgers. It was a kind of a slow game, slugfest to start out. But in the fourth quarter, the offenses really started to take off. It was back and forth. We had 39 points in the fourth quarter, and it really came down to who had the ball last. And we had Rutgers score with a minute 31 left, only to be followed by Washington State marching the ball all the way down in 60 seconds or 50 or yeah, what was that? 70 seconds to score a touchdown with 13 seconds left. So Washington State goes to Rutgers, not only covering as 2-point dogs, but winning by 3 points, 37-34.
The Pirate got it done.
Yep. Took him only 66 pass attempts.
It's pretty low for him. All right, so our next game was our SEC game of the week. Georgia went to Nashville. They did a little bit of drinking out there on Broadway, and then they went to go play Vanderbilt in their little stadium just down the road. Georgia, Nick Chubb, they won the game. They won 31-14. As good as Nick Chubb looked, they didn't cover the spread. Nick Chubb ran for 190 yards, so averaging almost 10 yards a carry. We'll get into Georgia a little bit later, but they didn't cover the 20 they were giving Vandy. So Georgia gets their first SEC win, but they do not cover the spread. So Will, Garza, and Sally all had that game right. Me, Matt, and Whitney all missed that game. The next game, I know you watched just because you love corn. You want to go over Iowa?
Oh, yeah. Big Ten dominance right here. When you have a matchup like Iowa State, that is must see TV.
Chuck, did you watch the game?
I actually watched this game for a little bit after the UVA Notre Dame game. Iowa State took control of the game in the first half, and then in the second half, they kind of Iowa dominated, showing why the Big Ten is the best conference in the country, holding Iowa State to 66 second half yards and a couple picks. I don't know if it was a pick six, a couple interceptions in the fourth quarter sealed Iowa State's fate as Iowa went on to win. I think it was by 14. Yeah, 31-17. And so Iowa covered the 3.5-point spread.
So did you get a chance to talk to your guy, Sammy Richardson, after the game?
I did not. He kind of put a damper on that Heisman spiel that I was giving him last week. Mm. But fortunately for us, Domi gave out a real nice fact that Iowa's 4-4 in their last 8. Now they're 5-4 in their last 9. So I think he's on to something.
Do you think they might still be 4-4 in their last 8?
Well, I'm going to give them 5-4 in their last nine.
Shout out to Domi. We appreciate the very obscure stat that didn't seem to matter a whole lot. So the next game we have ended up being a heck of a game. Oklahoma went to Tennessee. Oklahoma was down 17-3 at halftime. And, you know, the Sooners, they made some adjustments. So last year the defense did not adjust versus Baylor. They weren't a good defense. Eric Stryker wasn't going to look like a dumbass in this game. So he made sure Oklahoma could essentially
pitch. So you were trying to keep this G-rated. Watch the language.
Eric Stryker didn't want to look like a dummy. And so he made sure that they didn't give up any second half points. They only gave up a touchdown in overtime to Tennessee. Baker Mayfield came alive later in the game with 3 touchdowns in the second half. Samar J. Perine still can't really get the ball moving. Joe Mixon, I mean, he's also not running. So the Oklahoma running game is still not happening. But Oklahoma did go on the road. They got a big win for their program to kind of get them back in the spotlight and also for the Big 12.
For lack of a better term, Tennessee choked on some applesauce.
They did. And as we're recording this, we keep getting lots of texts about another team choking on applesauce, but we will not talk about the Astros until next baseball season.
Baseball?
Staying in the Big 12, Rice went to Texas. Texas was giving 15.5 to Rice. Texas didn't look so great offensively again, but they won the game. They still put up 42 points. They didn't throw the ball a heck of a lot. Gerard Hurd got the start over Tyrone Swoops, so they made the switch after their first game. But for as many points as Texas did score, they still didn't cover the spread. Rice only lost by 14, so Texas did not cover.
Dude, when did 42 not sound like a pretty good offensive explosion there?
Because I want to say Texas only completed 9 passes.
I think that's a little high.
It is high. Sorry. They completed
5.
Gerard Hurd was 4 of 7.
And Tyrone Swoops was 1 of 3.
Yeah, but when you're putting your backups in, I don't know. Anyway, they didn't really move the ball offensively a whole heck of a lot through the air. They're going to need to do that versus the team we're going to preview in a little bit. Chuck, I know you watched the next game.
What was the next game?
Oregon Sparty.
Oh, so the marquee matchup of the evening, again, just kind of showing off the Big Ten dominance. Best conference in the country. Part of the reason that I get all these bets right is I support the Big Ten. They're so underrated around the country. Everybody thinks that they can't handle Oregon's high-flying offense. They shut them down in the first half, gave Vernon Adams a broken finger. It really just dominated the game for the most part. At the end, they did make it close and let Oregon kind of backdoor cover and gave Oregon a shot to actually win the game at the end. So Oregon did cover the 3.5 points. But what matters most is the W for Sparty.
Oregon missed a prime chance to take the lead when Vernon Adams overthrew the wideout just streaking down the field. But Oregon did cover. So I guess that matters for our game show.
It was a good thing they broke his finger. That's what threw him off. The physicality of that.
A healthy finger, and Oregon wins that football game. But so far, Vernon Adams' injury count, 2 games, 2 injuries, concussion, broken finger. We'll see what's next. So our next game that's up, LSU was a 4-point favorite going to Mississippi State. LSU ended up winning the game, but they did not cover. Leonard Fournette went off for about 160. Brandon Harris didn't do a whole heck of a lot. They pressured Dak Prescott, and they just shut down the Mississippi State running game. So LSU got the W on the road, but they didn't cover the 4. Will, did you watch the last game? Boise giving 2.5 at BYU.
I did not. I was watching the Mississippi State game, as that was my biggest bet of the weekend. But the Boise State-BYU game, kind of like the Boise State-Washington game, real nail-biter and had you high action, had you on the edge of your couch watching that first half. Halftime, it was 10-7. But that fourth quarter for BYU, they rattle off 21 points in the fourth quarter to blow away and win 35-24, even with Taysom Hill out. What the heck? So they easily covered, what were they, 2.5-point dogs?
Yep.
And they won straight up by 11.
BYU,
don't mess with the Mormons.
Don't do it. Can't do it. You think on Sunday morning they celebrate with coffee?
Bloody Marys.
Bloody Marys. Maybe that's where the world's best bloody is.
I'll have to find out one day.
I don't know. Maybe for your bachelor party.
I don't think I'm going to Provo.
All right. So for $1,000 bets this past week, on week one, I won $50. On week two, Chuck won $241. And week two did not go so well for both of us, but pretty much me. I did terribly. So I bet $250 on Georgia, $250 on Louisville, $200 Louisiana Tech, $200 on UT and Rice to cover the under. All those bets lost. The only bet that I won was Bowling Green for $100. Chuck bet $400 on Sparty. No, sorry, $400 on Mississippi State, who won. Well, they covered. They didn't win. $100 on U of H, who outright won. So he got those two. He missed on Sparty. He missed on Tennessee and Iowa State. All those totals of $500. So Will's $1,000 last week ended up becoming
$955.
So cumulatively, Will has made $196 on the year.
Boss.
I ended up taking my $1,000 and made it into $191. So on the year, I am down $760. We're doing great.
$809 to be exact, Dia. Quit cooking the books.
No, I won $50 the first week. So if you offset the $809, I'm at $759 now.
Quit cooking the books.
I'm good at cooking them. Anyway, so Garza took his $1,000, laid it on Sparty. Garza missed by a half point. So Garza ended up with zero. So Sally's still leading our guest stars with...
No help for Domi in the book cooking?
No. The rule of book cooking is you only have to help yourself. Everybody else are kind of on their own. They got to learn to cook their own books. So Sally had $380 from his $1,000 that he made. So far he's winning with the guest stars because Garza had none. So before we get into next week, we got a couple odds and ends we have to take care of. So Kirch is our tailgate judge for every week. So I sent Kirch kind of a questionnaire about how he would grade out different things at tailgate. He gave the food a D, the atmosphere a C, the tailgate game's a D, so far tailgate's going great for Kirch. The stories he gave a B+ because we might lose the tailgate altogether. And then he said the drinks were a B+, but I'm the only one that drank the rum punch. I figured that would happen, but you said to go ahead and make it. So I'm tossing you under the bus, you being me. So I did tell him to make it. Every time I looked over, Kirch had a full cup of this rum and no one else touched it. And then he upgraded the food to a C because... quote, Leah's queso was legit one of the best homemade I've ever had. Maybe the best, but I'm also the only one who ate it. So, yeah.
Good stories.
Yeah, I mean, the stories are pretty good. We, we all went to the game with the exception of one of us. And then we came back out.
The dark side.
The dark side came out. There was a little bit of a rock 'em, sock 'em, or rock 'em, push 'em. The neighbor who does not like us that we discussed last week, we reinforced that now. He really doesn't like us. He's threatened to call the university to have our tailgate spot taken away. So far as of Wednesday night, I have not heard from Baylor. So I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen. I still have no idea what I'm going to say in and with they call me. But, you know. Oh, and also...
Yeah, the response should – this is all you need to say when Chad calls is, sorry for partying.
I don't know if that's going to help us. But I'll keep that in mind because I don't have much else to say. So the other thing is I texted Garza about who our tailgater of the game – our torchbearer of the game was. And before we give out the torchbearer of the game, we have to give a shout-out and – show our respects to our Wounded Warrior Award of the game. So Sarah Chardonnay was moving some tailgate equipment. She's moving some cornhole. She busted her toe open, but like a champ, old Shando just kept going, just kept loading things in the truck, just trying to get the heck out of there. So she gets the Wounded Warrior Award. It doesn't come with anything, but we just got to give her a shout out. So our tailgate porch. Was that the dogs too?
That was clapping for winning awards.
We got one more award.
Ah.
I asked Garza who our tailgater torchbearer of the game for last week's tailgate was, and his response was technically Hash. I'm not really sure what the untechnical answer to that one would be, but Hash definitely won the award. He, like Garza said, he tailgates all the time. When he's not tailgating, he wants to be tailgating. We had a ticket for him to go into the game, but why would you want to go to the game when you can tailgate? So Hash guarded the equipment, and he was the torchbearer and kind of led the way of the tailgate. So that's all we have for awards this week.
Sarah, standing ovation for Phil.
Did it, Phil. Although we now have to just see if the heart really does grow fonder with absence, because Phil does not want to tailgate until homecoming. So we'll see how this goes. All right, so we were going to talk to Dove about his cat shirts and the best things to get at Payway if you're not looking for a spicy meal, but we're just going to move right into the games. We're not even going to waste any time BSing about cat shirts. Although, if we had Sally on, we could probably battle them back and forth on the best cat shirt. So, all right, so let's start with our first game of the week. For our first game of the week, we have Clemson as a 6-point favorite going to Louisville. Clemson has basically beaten two FCS-level opponents. One was an FCS opponent. The other was Appalachian State. Deshaun Watson has not solidified himself, but kind of put him up there in the conversation and kept himself there with his two performances so far by having 77% passing. Travis Scott is going to give corners hell for Louisville. The guy can just get the ball in his hands and make plays. The defense for Clemson is great. So Louisville, who's been struggling on offense, is going to have real issues moving the ball to Clemson. We'll get to your in a second, but Louisville's offense just hasn't looked good. Their running game with Radcliffe is not moving. Their defensive front's good, which will be able to put some pressure on Deshaun Watson, but I'm thinking Clemson's going to win this game by about 10-14, so I'm taking Clemson to cover the 6.
Dude, you got this game all wrong. So the one thing that you said is Louisville is a good team that has the possibility of starting out 0-3. I don't think that they're going to start out 0-3. I know they're 6-point dogs. I think they're going to win this game outright. I think one of the things they're going to have to their advantage is Bobby Petrino has about 3 different quarterbacks he can play. And so Clemson's not going to know who's going to be the quarterback. They won't have as much time to prepare for it. You also mentioned Clemson looks great. They're playing nobody. Who cares? Little Sisters of the Poor. Louisville has been tested by Auburn. And I know U of H, they don't usually get a whole lot of national credit, but they're a pretty good team this year for, what's that conference called, American or whatever?
They're so good their coach got fired last year.
No, I'm talking about this year.
Oh, the 2 games that they played?
Yep. Tom Herman turns around the program. He won a national championship last year, do you?
He did. This is his first head coaching gig.
Anyways, back to the actual game. So, I mean, I think Louisville's going to – Papa John's Stadium is going to be rocking. They're not going to start out 0-3. They've played much more tougher opponents to get them prepared for this game. And you know what? Thursday night ESPN games, crazy things always happen. That's where you see all the upsets because it's a short week of preparation. I've got Louisville not only to cover but to win the game.
So, Will, you mentioned Papa John's Stadium, and their basketball arena is called the Yum Brand Center, which is basically Taco Bell, KFC, all those things. So I hear that they're renaming their swimming arena. So
isn't Pizza Hut part of Yum?
No, Pizza Hut is. Papa John's isn't.
Wait, so they got it's Yum. So they've got They're sponsored by both Pizza Hut and Papa John's. That can't be good for marketing for those companies.
Well, here's my idea, though. Like, if they're renaming the swimming thing and the baseball stadium, if they even have a baseball team, like, I think Little Caesars should make a play. Just get in there, maybe Domino's.
Giordano's.
Yeah, sure. If they want to expand their reach a little bit, why not? All right, so moving on. We're going to stay in the northern area. We have Illinois is going to be going to UNC. So Illinois, right in your own backyard. You got any thoughts on the Fighting Illini?
Not really. They suck. They lost their coach a couple weeks ago. They've beaten two really kind of crappy teams. I think traveling to North Carolina, I know North Carolina didn't look very good against South Carolina. I mean, their defense played well, but their offense left a lot to be desired. But they really, it was just key mistakes. They made a bunch of turnovers in the red zone. I think UNC's offense will not make those mistakes against a very weak Illinois defense. So I'm going to go against saying the Big Ten is the best conference in the land right here and take UNC to cover the 10 points.
I'm going the other way. I think Illinois' defense is very underrated. You know how many points they've given up all year? They've given up 3.
What, to Western Illinois and who else?
I don't even know.
Yeah, that's because they're so bad teams that they played.
They were good last year, too. Anyway, their secondary is pretty good. Maurice Williams for UNC.
Can you name one player in their secondary?
Can you name one player in UNC's secondary?
I didn't talk about their defense, do you? I talked about their offense.
Maurice Williams has been known to turn over the ball for UNC. I think
Western Illinois and Kent State. Come on.
It's 3 points.
Even Baylor's had a tougher schedule than that.
Have we?
Yeah, it's debatable.
Yeah, okay. Wes Love for Oklahoma State is now finding Illini. So he's been pretty good. I also think Josh Ferguson hasn't gotten going in the backfield for Illinois. I don't think Illinois is going to win the game, but I like them to cover the 10 on the road. So UNC, though, they got to keep giving Elijah Hood the ball. So let's see if they'll do that. If they do, they may cover. I still think Illinois is going to cover the 10, but still ultimately lose. So you can tell we had Will pick the games this week because our next game is also a Big Ten game. We have Northwestern going to Duke. Duke is a 3-point favorite. Another brunch game at 11:30. So Northwestern, their defense is great. Anthony Walker's looked great at linebacker, but their offense is still terrible. Clayton Thorson has only put up like 129 yards a game. Justin Jackson, a running back, is averaging like 4 yards a carry. Conversely, Duke, their defense hasn't looked that good, but Thomas Shirk at QB has actually been pretty good. He's running for like 75 yards a game, passing for 3. Sean Wilson's a pretty good back. I like Duke to cover the 3 and win at home.
Dude, we got – these are my boys in purple right here, the Mighty Wildcats, playing in another SAT Bowl with Duke. So – I know what most of you are thinking. I, again, preach the Big Ten is the best conference in the country. I think Northwestern is kind of on a high right now after their big win over Stanford. I think going on the road, they're going to lose to Duke. Duke is one of those teams, they're always very fundamentally sound. They do not make mistakes. They may not have the best athletes or the best players, but they make up with that for the way that they play. I think Duke wins this pretty easily, to be honest. I think they win by probably about 10 points.
Chuck, that's like the first game we've agreed on in almost 2 weeks.
Dude, you might finally win one.
Watch this be the game I lose. Like last week we both had Tennessee, we both didn't win. All right, so our next game, Nebraska going to Miami. Miami's giving 3.5. Miami's a 3.5-point favorite. With Nebraska coming to town Saturday at 2:30. We're going to have our Cornhusker correspondent, Matt, come in, but he is busy watching Donald Trump. So, Chuck, what do you got for us?
To be honest, I don't have a whole lot on this game. I don't think Tommy Armstrong can throw a football to save his life. So just based on that, and Miami's going to be on revenge mode after last year's getting throttled by Nebraska, I'm going to take Nebraska plus, what is it, minus three and a half. But I don't have much insight other than that. Could care less about the game.
So you'll be watching intently.
I will.
I actually think Tommy Armstrong has gotten better this year. He's
I'll give him this. He has gotten better, but he still sucks.
Okay. I still think he's pretty good. I don't think he's as good a quarterback as Brad Kaya for Miami. Yeah, Brad Kaya is a legit threat who can actually move the ball up and down the field if he needs to. I like Miami's running game with Joseph Yeardley and Mark Walton. But I don't think Miami's defense is good enough to stop Nebraska whenever Armstrong gets going, because I also think Brandon Riley and Jordan Westcamp are just able to beat corners in space. So I'm taking Nebraska to – I think they're going to win the game. I think they'll win close, but I definitely think they're going to cover. So I'm taking the Huskers.
All right. So then we move on to our next game, our fourth Big Ten game in a row. Now, for those of you keeping track of these picks right here, I've picked against the Big Ten three games in a row. Here, I'm going to take Purdue to cover the 6 points. Reason being, I just don't trust Virginia Tech. Their offense now without what's his name, the Texas Tech guy?
Michael Brewer.
Without Michael Brewer, Motley cannot move the football. He is a running quarterback. I think Purdue... I mean, I don't know if they're good enough for me to give them the win, but I'll say they lose by a field 3 or 4 points.
Since we threw out how the other Big Ten teams suck, I also think Purdue sucks. Austin Appleby, which kind of sounds like Andrew Appling with the alliteration thing, he's only passed for 288 games so far when they've played pretty much – I mean, granted, they played Marshall, but like their other game wasn't versus anybody. But versus Marshall, they had 4 interceptions. DJ Knox and Markell Jones they're okay in the backfield, but like you're not going to move the ball consistently with them. Virginia Tech, you mentioned they lost Brewer, but they bring in the guy who has the best first name in college football with Brendan Motley. It's the best name to have, spelled the same way as your boy me. So I'm going Virginia Tech to cover just because I like the name. So Virginia Tech wins.
Whoa! Who is Brendan?
We'll talk about that one later, but he's got a great name. Next game, Georgia Tech, 2.5-point favorites, going to South Bend, Indiana. Will anybody be healthy for Notre Dame?
They will. So I actually – it's tough to pick against Paul Johnson and the way that he coaches his teams at Georgia Tech.
Just don't do it.
But I'm going to take Notre Dame here. Notre Dame's defense is very, very solid. It's their offense that they're going to have to worry about a little bit. But one thing, if you look at Brian Kelly over the past, he took an undefeated Cincinnati team with 4 different starting quarterbacks. He got Everett Goldstein to be a good quarterback, and look at him now at Florida State. He can't complete anything and throws picks every single play. Brian Kelly is a great quarterback coach. I've got faith in him. I think Notre Dame wins this game. Right, it's they're 2.5-point underdogs. I think they win the game outright.
So Malik Zaire is out now. DeShone Kizer's in. This is now the second DeShone we've talked about at quarterback.
No, that's a good first name.
DeShone? Well, they're both spelled differently. DeShone Kizer is actually spelled pretty awesome. DeSHone. DeShone. Anyway, I think he's going to need to find Will Fuller out at wideout to get in a rhythm. Fuller's just been a beast so far. CJ Procise in the backfield is a good safety blanket, just handling the ball. He's going to be able to move the chains. But I don't know if I trust Notre Dame to stop Georgia Tech enough. I think Georgia Tech's offense is pretty underrated. Granted, the triple option isn't new for Notre Dame since they play Navy, but Georgia Tech has a lot of weapons to be able to get the ball to in the backfield. Although Justin Thomas is going to have to throw more than 9 times to win this game, I'm taking Georgia Tech to cover the 2.5. I think they barely covered by 3 to 4, but I do think Georgia Tech is going to be able to go on the road and beat Notre Dame. And based on how Florida State looks so far, I think Georgia Tech can probably win the ACC.
It's a bold claim there, Dia.
I'm a bold man, Chuck. So we're going to go now to the SEC, where all the hot action lies. We're getting out of this whole Big Ten. We're getting out of the going to Indiana and Illinois schools. We're getting away with that. We're going down to Auburn, going to Baton Rouge. What are you going to say, Will?
We went through all the Big Ten because they all play early morning games.
They love brunch. They just want to make sure they can get some brunch in. They go to the game at 11, go back to Bottomless Mimosas because they left their hash at, like, the place of mimosas. They just got to get their brunch in. We should have a brunch game of the week going forward.
That would probably be
good adjective there.
Northwestern Duke.
Yeah, I think that probably is our brunch game of the week. We're going to stick with that.
It was pretty ugly trying to pick one.
We're taking the smarties. Anyway, Oliver, going to LSU. LSU is a 7.5-point favorite. So, Auburn's offense, we don't really know where they are so far, but their defense has also been kind of weird with their – they've been really hyped for Will Muschamp to come in town, but they gave up 430 yards to Jacksonville State. Peyton Barber has the capability of breaking some runs, but he's just got to get going. Jeremy Johnson has looked hit or miss. He's got like four picks so far. They've got to value the football to go on the road and be able to win. For LSU, Brandon Harris, they only had 71 yards passing last week. So they're going to need a little bit more to probably be able to beat Auburn because I just trust Gus Malzahn to be able to get the offense going. So I don't know if I have Auburn winning, but I have them covering the 7.5.
Do you basically stole everything that I was going to say? I think with Will Muschamp being, first of all, a great defensive coordinator, he's been in the SEC with Florida for a couple years. He knows what LSU is all about. I think he'll have their defense up and ready to play with LSU. I think their offense after their performance against Jacksonville State will be a lot better than it was. I mean, it's got to be better than it was against Jacksonville State. But the other thing is, if this game were a night game in Baton Rouge, I'd be leaning more towards LSU. But it's an afternoon game, so it's not going to be as raucous of an environment. I think at 7.5 points, I take Auburn easily to cover that. And I could see Auburn winning the game straight up. Leonard Fournette is a great running back, but they're going to need more out of Brandon Harris. And I just don't know if I trust him to make any big plays.
I agree 100% with everything you said about Auburn. So let's stick with the SEC. We're next going to talk about South Carolina, where our boy Sally lives, and Sally's squad is going to play Georgia. Georgia's a 16.5-point favorite. Chuck, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, so the Cocks have looked pitiful the first couple weeks. Really can't get anything going with their offense. Their defense is okay. It's not the same South Carolina defense that Spurrier's had for a couple years. I think Georgia, after last week, kind of just toying with Vanderbilt, they didn't really want to show too much. I think Georgia kind of lays it on South Carolina. I got Georgia winning by about 24-28 in this game.
So the Cocks have just looked like a bunch of farts that may violate the rule that Sally gave us to stop making dick and fart jokes, but that's okay. Connor Mitch is now out for the year, so Perry Orth is now in. Mitch got knocked out. Orth was okay, but what South Carolina will have to fix if they really want to go anywhere this year is they can't go 20% on third down the entire year. They lost Kentucky last week. They're going to Georgia. Georgia didn't cover 17 on Vandy, but now they're going to be at home. Nick Chubb is averaging 8.8 yards a carry. Grayson Lambert.
Yeah, that's almost a first down to carry.
Almost, which is what South Carolina can't do themselves on three downs. Grayson Lambert has been underwhelming thus far for quarterback based on the talent that Georgia has and that they usually always produce with their quarterbacks and how they're able to move the ball. Anyway, I think Georgia wins this game pretty easily. South Carolina, I don't think, has the horses to keep up. I think Georgia's just going to be able to do what they want with the ball. So I'm with you. Give me the Bulldogs to cover the 16.5.
Uh-oh, Dia. We have too many games in common. I think this is going to be a rough week for me.
It might be, but maybe I can make up some ground. Maybe not you, but other people. So now we're kind of coming back to my neck of the woods a little bit. We're getting out of the Big Ten. We're getting out of Sally's area. We have Texas Tech going to Arkansas. Arkansas.
Raider.
Power. So Arkansas is 11.5 point favorite at home, coming off their loss to Toledo. So, granted, Texas Tech has played like Sam Houston and nobody state, so their numbers are a little bit skewed. But Pat Mahomes last year when he came on played really well. So far he looks great again. DeAndre Washington in the backfield has also been moving the ball pretty good. With Jakeem Grant and Devin Lauderdale out wide, Mahomes has weapons to be able to get people in space and to make plays. They have a new defensive coordinator this year with David Gibbs. He came from U of H. They blitz like crazy. They're very aggressive, which versus a team like Arkansas, who so far hasn't been able to run the ball and has relied on the pass, I think that will give Brandon Allen some trouble. Arkansas is supposed to be great versus the run. It hasn't shown up yet this year. I think Tech is going to be able to cover the 11.5, and I actually think they got a pretty legit shot to win the game. So give me Texas Tech and the Raiders.
So for me, this was, for games that I actually care about, probably the most difficult. I've gone back and forth on it all week. Texas Tech, just the style that they play, they're one of those teams that can put up points in a hurry, but when they run into a team that can stop them, they can just get completely shut down. So they'll put up 50 on you, or they'll put up only a couple touchdowns. And I'm kind of leaning towards the side that Arkansas will be able to shut them down. Or not shut them down, but at least slow them down enough. And Texas Tech's defense is not good enough to consistently stop Arkansas's running game. And after the loss to Toledo, and Brett Bielema is all about bashing other conferences. We've all heard what he said about Ohio State before he lost to Toledo. And I think he won't miss the opportunity that when he has the lead to kind of try and run the score up a little bit extra. So I think he will cover the 11.5 point spread. Give me Arkansas by, let's say, 17.
Going with the Hogs.
That being said, I went back and forth on this. I could see Texas Tech winning the game. But if I had to pick, I would take Arkansas.
Good to know. All right, so we're going to stay in the Big 12. We have Cal. Cal is a 6.5 point favorite going to Austin, Texas to play the Longhorns. Chuck, you got any thoughts on this game? Didn't make the list you care about?
I'm going to go with UT on this one. I don't really have very much of a good reason other than I think they got to come out and play with just some pride. I mean, after what's been going on in the media, they just fired their AD this week. I think they come out and play with a little bit more pride. I'll take them to cover the touchdown. Funny thing is, if you were looking at this game on August 31st, you could have had California as a 9.5 point underdog. Now, a couple weeks, 17 days later, they are 6.5 point favorites. I know things have gone downhill for UT, but they're not. I don't think they're that bad. Give me the 7 points or 6.5 points.
Yeah. So looking at line movement, you're right. I think that, you know, there's value in UT, but I'm not confident enough to take it. So I'm going to take Cal at the 6.5. I think Jared Goff, because he plays on the Pacific Coast, is probably not a name enough people know. I think that they have plenty of wideouts to be able to test UT in space out on the outside. Gerard Hurd last week, like we talked about earlier, was only four of seven against Rice. He's going to need to do a little bit more if he hopes to knock off Cal. I think the UT defense can slow down Cal. I just don't think that they're able to keep them out of the end zone enough to outscore them by seven. So I'm taking Cal to be able to cover the 6.5. So give me the Bears.
You just said that you don't – never mind.
Yeah, I realized.
Okay.
Yep. Wrong word. All right. Cal's going to cover the 7.
All right.
The next game marks up the game that I do not care about on this list. Florida is a 3-point favorite going to Lexington, Kentucky. Kelvin Taylor, the running back, son of Fred Taylor, did the whole throat-slashing thing. So that got a lot of pub, but what doesn't get publicity is he's not that good. He's okay, but he's averaging like 3 point something yards a carry. Will Grier has been just average. He's only turned it over once, which when you're Florida, you just can't turn the ball over because your offense isn't good. Their defense is still good, but it's not as good as it was under Will Muschamp when they're pretty good. Kentucky has beat a South Carolina team. Stanley Williams, though, is a running back to watch. He's averaging 10 yards a carry. Patrick Towles, you just can't turn the ball over, and Kentucky will be in good hands. I got Kentucky to cover the three, and I have them winning the game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with mostly what you said. I mean, sounds like I care about this game a little bit more than you do.
Oh, I won't even watch it.
I mean, I probably won't watch it with the other games on TV at that point.
So you don't really care.
No, I mean, the game intrigues me. I think that one thing that has gone really, I guess, underrated is the way that Mark Stoops has recruited for Kentucky. He has quietly put together very good recruiting classes, at least for Kentucky. Some people view last week's win over South Carolina not so much that Kentucky did things well as South Carolina struggled and kind of gave them the game, which is not really the case. Mark Stoops has done a really good job with Kentucky. I think Kentucky is actually the more talented team in this game, and I think they should be favored. I've got you, Kentucky to win the game.
Going with the Wildcats.
All right, so
our next game is a Chuck special. Chuck, you want to talk about it?
Yeah, we've got Stanford at the real USC. USC is 10-point favorites. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we had who was it? Desmond Howard picking Stanford as his national champion. Stanford is still a very talented team. I know they're kind of boring when it comes to their style of play. USC is a high-flying offensive, kind of like in LA, the showtime out there. I think Stanford not only comes back with their defense and running and controlling the clock to cover those 10 points. I think Stanford I'll say they have a really good shot to win the game, and I think they cover the 10 easily. I'm looking at a score of probably somewhere around 28-24 type of game.
See, USC, I thought they were overrated to start the year, and come next Wednesday maybe saying that they were overrated. They're a 10-point favorite at home. They've been just blowing everybody out. Offensively, they look great. Defensively, without Leonard Williams, I think they're doing just fine. Stanford's offense is – they're not any good. They can't really move the ball that well. I can see a scenario where when Stanford covers, but I don't see a scenario where they win. I also see a pretty good scenario where USC wins big. So I'm taking USC by 17-21. So I have USC to win the game pretty big.
Interesting, Dia. Interesting.
I try to keep it real. All right, our next game, we're coming back to our home state of Texas. We have SMU, the SMU Ponies, doing their thing now with Chad Morris. They're going to the mighty TCU Horned Frogs. We're in their purple, running around with like half-filled stadiums. TCU is a 37-point favorite. Will, do you have anything to say?
I have no comment on this game. Don't care about games with 37-point spreads. I hate TCU. Let's go with SMU. That's all I got.
All right, so Trevon Boykin has been around 300 yards a game. He's been pretty good. He hasn't been Heisman great like he was like sold as, which is fine. He's been great. He's just probably not the best player in college football. Aaron Green, I think, is a really underrated running back. He hasn't broken any long runs. I want to say his longest run of the year is like 20 yards. He's going to get loose at some point. That might be versus SMU. Matt Davis at SMU, though, came from A&M, now at SMU. I think he's going to be one of the breakout players of the year. He's not being talked about much nationally yet, but he's still averaging like 337 through the air. He's got 337 through the air so far and 240 on the ground. So he's doing both things. Their defense is bad, but, I mean, you're still talking about 37 points. I think SMU covers. It's a rivalry game for him. TCU is going to win pretty big, but I still don't think they cover almost 40 points. So give me the Ponies. Our next game, probably the game of the night, most people end up watching before our nightcap, which will keep us up till about 1. We'll get to that in a second. Ole Miss is going to Alabama. Alabama's a 6.5-point favorite in Tuscaloosa, which, if you're not from Alabama, I don't think most people can spell Tuscaloosa, but we'll get into that in another podcast.
T-U-S-C-A-L-O-O-S-A.
Okay, there you go. Chuck, spell spaghetti.
Was that right?
I have no idea.
S-P-A-G-H-E-T-T-I.
All right, there you go. Anyway, so Ole Miss is going to Tuscaloosa.
Thanks, Hard Knocks.
All right, so Alabama. I think that Derrick Henry is going to be able to move the chains pretty effectively versus Ole Miss's defense. I think Ole Miss is much improved, but without Laramie Tunsil protecting their left side offensively, I think Alabama is just going to get after him. Charlie agrees in the background. After seeing Chad Kelly, I don't really know why they played Bo Wallace as much.
Get it, Charlie.
I don't think she likes my Alabama pick coming up here in a second. Chad Kelly looks great. Dr. Bo was just average. They're dropping 70 with ease. I just think that at home, at night, Alabama's going to be able to win by a touchdown or more. So give me the Tide.
Deal. Let's control Charlie here. You're right. This is going to be the number one game of the evening. We've got Alabama at home against a high-flying Ole Miss offense. I think Ole Miss's defense is going to give Jake Coker and Alabama all sorts of fits. It's going to be a typical – now, but that being said, I think Alabama's defense is going to give Ole Miss's offense a bunch of fits as well. So it's going to be a typical – SEC, kind of slugfest. Kind of one thing to note, since Alabama has been favored by 7 points or less in an SEC game the last 9 times, they're only 2-7 covering that spread. And so, I mean, I do think that Ole Miss is probably going to cover. I think they cover the touchdown, and I think they've got a legit shot to win this game. This just really isn't the same Alabama team that Nick Saban has had the last couple of years. You just don't trust their quarterback. They're not as talented as they've been. I mean, this is the first time in years where we haven't said that Alabama is the best team in the country. It's Ohio State right now. And so, I mean, I think Ole Miss wins this game and kind of puts Alabama in place in the SEC West. Or is that the East? Whatever.
It's the West.
The SEC West.
So the Eastern Seaboard, they're in the West.
And Chad Kelly is going to go all Johnny Football on Alabama.
Maybe so. We'll find out. All right, so very last game, we have the BYU Miraculous Cougars going to UCLA. UCLA is a 17-point favorite. I think BYU has played great with Tanner Mangum so far. All their wide receivers are making plays, including our boy Hash Matthews out there at wideout. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball much on UCLA, but I also don't think that they're 17 points worse at UCLA. So I'm taking the Cougars to cover. I don't think they're going to win. I think they lose by about 10. I think Josh Rosen has come back to earth a little bit, so we'll see how he does facing a pretty good team at home this time.
I agree. I thought you were starting off right when you started talking, then it all went downhill. I've got UCLA in a rout. BYU has been one of the luckiest teams so far. I mean, obviously lucky with the Hail Mary to beat Nebraska. Last week they were losing to Boise, or not Boise.
Boise.
Oh, yeah, it was Boise. They were losing to Boise, and they scored a bunch late. They scored 2 touchdowns in the final minute and a half to make the score look like a blowout. UCLA is just going to move the ball up and down the field on BYU all day. I don't think BYU is going to be able to run the ball at all. I've got UCLA by 4 touchdowns.
4 touchdowns. Okay. Well, we're going to have to see how this goes. Chuck, I've written your picks all down on a piece of paper and put it on the floor. Charlie has since ripped it apart, so we're going to have to see what your picks are. That means I have to listen to this whole thing again. But we're going to check back next week. We'll see how we did. We'll get everyone else's picks. We'll actually try to find a guest that's going to show up this week. I'm still hoping Matt can pull it off next week. So we'll check.
We had Charlie this week.
We did have Charlie. Charlie was our guest ripper. And I forgot to mention, we did take Evan's advice. Evan's been hoping that we were able to get a phone call in line. So I want to report that we did make that happen. So if you guys want to call and leave us some messages, you'll be able to do it at this phone number. So you got to call 408-837-2251. Again, our call in line for the Will and Dia picks is 408-837-2251. You call in, it'll be on the show. Remember to keep it clean, though. We're trying to audition for a new website, so it's very critical. So we're going to check back next week, see how our picks did. We're going to make sure that Jaws is doing pretty well. We'll get an update from him. So far, he had a great week one, average on week two. So we're going to see how Jaws does in week three, and maybe by week 17 we'll have Jaws on. So we'll see how this goes. For Chuck, you got any parting words for our listeners?
Well, dude, we got to actually tell people we're spending our $1,000.
Oh, shoot. You're right. I was hoping I didn't have to do that this week so I didn't lose it all. All right. So, you go ahead and go first. I think Charlie may have ripped mine up.
All right. Well, so I actually had a really tough time narrowing it down this week. I personally, after last week, hating and only liking like three games, like most of the games that we talked about, I think I would bet probably 10, 11 of these games. But to narrow it down, I kind of just stuck with the big games. So I would take 150 on Louisville, 150 on Auburn, 150 on Bam or on Ole Miss, 150 on UCLA, 200 on Notre Dame, and 200 on Stanford.
Okay, so my thousand.
Dick, what are Dick's picks?
Dick's picks of the week are brought to you by Charlie, the Pick Ripper. I'll have to send you a picture of this. Charlie's eating three pages of notes.
That doesn't sound good talking about dick picks, and I'm going to send you a picture.
So the dick picks of the week are, I have USC for 250. I have Auburn for 200. I have BYU for 200. I have Texas Tech for 150. Virginia Tech for 100. And the Smooth Ponies for 100 to cover the 37. So now we've covered our picks. We've covered the allocation. Charlie's ripped up all of Will's notes and my notes. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, you need to call our phone line. So, Evan, I expect to hear from you a couple times because we set it up just for you. Again, that number, if you guys need it, is 408-837-2251. We're going to check in on our picks, make sure Jaws is still doing well in life, and we're going to see what's all happening. So, anyway, for Chuck, I'm Dia. We'll catch you guys next week.
Peace.